There was an awkward moment just the other day when I walked into the home and at least an hour had passed by and I did not even notice my wife had gotten a fairly significant haircut.
And
I knew it was on the calendar, but I just was so busy and kind of preoccupied. It was kind of embarrassing. I'm John Fuller, and this is the final episode of Season 7 of the Loving Well podcast. And I lead with that little anecdote because maybe you forgot. Maybe, oops, Valentine's Day is flashing all around you in neon lights, and you forgot something about it. Maybe you didn't have a card. Maybe it was too late for the reservation. Whatever it is, we're here to help you out. I've got Greg and Aaron Smalley here in the studio, and you two are so transparent. Have you overlooked or forgotten something in your marriage that led to, oh, maybe a time of good making up?
Well, I wish it was as simple as, yeah, I forgot to mention or notice her haircut or something. One time, now keep in mind, I mean, we run the marriage department here, focused on the family. So marriage.
So you're experts.
Anniversary, I mean, big deal. Try to make a big deal out of those things. And there was just one particular year that we were moving from one house to another house, and we were so busy, so exhausted. It was right about the time of our anniversary, May 30th. And so May 30th rolls around. We're cleaning, packing, both so busy, just sort of passing each other, you know, in the house. And it's like late evening. And we're sitting there talking about something, and it was like instantly for both of us, we went, oh no, it's our anniversary. Like we never even.
But both of us forgot,
yeah,
and I just remember.
Did, thankfully.
I just remember when we realized that we both forgot, we were horrified.
But relieved at some level, going, okay, at least I wasn't the only one.
Yeah.
Like, had I been,
yeah.
If Aaron had been waiting all day for that, whatever, you know, happy anniversary or the gift. And so we made up for that. So I think that weekend we went out and we celebrated properly.
Of course you did, because you lead the marriage department.
Exactly.
Here at Focus on the Family.
Because we'd have no credibility otherwise.
Well, if you feel embarrassed over something you missed, maybe you didn't notice or you just took a swing and totally missed, you're not the only one. We're going to hear now from a few of our Focus staff members who have done the very same thing.
You know, we had a day a couple years ago where, you know, this isn't the old cliche where the guy forgets the anniversary, where both of us forgot our anniversary. And we both got like 2/3 of the way through the day and realized almost simultaneously, holy cow, it's our anniversary. I forgot. And she's like, I forgot too. And so we both had a good laugh over it. And what I think that illustrates is that after you have been married a while, when you're in your first couple years, you're intentional, you're still totally jazzed, and you haven't had small children like, you know, well, I was going to say something really negative. You haven't had the challenge of small children. Let's put it that way. And after a while, you can misplace these important details. And I was just thankful that it wasn't just me forgetting, but my wife forgot as well. And we laugh about that memory too.
So our first Christmas comes around and it's my first Christmas married. It's my first Christmas in a new town. It's my first Christmas with my in-laws. There was just a lot of new things. I was working a full-time job at the time, which was also my first time having a Christmas while working a full-time job. I was just very busy and mentally, I think, overwhelmed with a lot of the things happening. So I hadn't thought of anything to get Alex. And I kept saying, it's fine, I'll think of something, I'll get to it. I just always had something else I had to do. And I'm sure you can see where this goes. I kept saying that till past Christmas. And in my brain, I think I thought, since Alex is my husband, he's the one I'm closest to, he'll have the most grace with me because he understands I had to get all of his siblings' gifts for the first time and his parents, and we had to make all these plans and all these, you know, all these new things that I was experiencing. And he did have grace with me, very much so. But he also communicated to me that it actually hurt him quite a bit to know that I just didn't get him a gift until maybe a month after Christmas. And it wasn't until he had that kind of serious conversation with me of like, I understand. I'm not mad at you, but I just want you to know it would mean a lot to me if you did take the time to get me a gift. I think it's our first Christmas together. I was super excited to have a really sweet, married Christmas morning, and we just didn't have gifts for each other. And it wasn't because of him, because he definitely had a gift for me. I just didn't have a gift for him. So yeah, that was a rough first Christmas memory. You know, you don't really envision your first Christmas going that way. But now I know, I think I learned a lot, obviously, from that experience. And we just finished Christmas ourselves for our second year. And I definitely had my gift a week or two before, thought out, planned, ready, and bought. So I won't make that mistake again.
This is a tricky one because I forget a lot. And so here's the thing. We've got a phrase in our house now. Honey, I forgot to remember. Because I do. I forget. I forget my phone. I don't know where it is. I forget where I put my keys. Because to me, those things are not important. And what I get from him is, Diane Lorraine, how could you forget this again? I also forget the times that something is supposed to be. So we will arrive late or early because I have forgotten what time it is. And he's very gracious to me. And now he has learned to write it down and carry it with him because he knows eventually I will forget. I just forget to remember.
I think I'm going to sound like a villain when I say this, but I think a pretty important thing that I forgot was when we met. According to my husband, that's his recollection. And I think that's probably a big one. And I think that's probably bigger than anything he's ever forgotten. But basically, when we met, according to his story, I still don't know if I believe it, but it was the first day of college and we were meeting our professors and our major. And we were standing in a group talking about Aristotle and Socrates and political philosophy. And me being me, I was talking a lot. And him being him, he didn't talk at all. And so I don't remember him being there at all. And here we are married for 5 years and I still don't believe him. But I guess that's probably a time I forgot something pretty important.
Isn't it good to know you're not the only one and to hear from others who maybe have learned to move on after a mistake like that? Well, Aaron, what are some of the ways that you and Greg have learned to kind of get better at reminding yourself of important things like, oh, anniversaries, which I'm sure that was the only time you ever
way to
forgot.
Rub that in her face.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems as of late, especially when you're in busy seasons, and I know
you,
for me,
yeah, you're an incredibly
it is a
busy
season that I'm more likely to forget things. And so in many ways, I am more prepared now than when I wasn't so busy because I'm being more intentional because I know how horrified I am. Like if I walk out to the waiting room at my counseling practice and someone's sitting there that I forgot to put on my calendar and I'm like, why are you here? I don't have you on my calendar. And they're like,
there's
well,
two couples that are waiting to see you for one appointment.
Yeah. Horrifying. And so I want to be very intentional about this. So for me, it is always writing it down. Like if I write it on a sticky note, that helps me so much. And really, you think about the brain physiology of that. Just writing something down helps us to remember it because our brain relaxes. And so just write it down. You know, even staying hydrated and rested, it seems crazy that that ties into remembering things, but it does. When we're exhausted and worn out and dehydrated, we don't remember as well. And I will say my greatest mentor in all of this is our 16-year-old daughter, Annie. She has a propensity to forget things or lose things. Mm-hmm. Or so we are constantly hearing these alarms going off on her phone. So she has learned how to manage this.
And all the time.
All the time, alarms going off.
Because we don't let her have her cell phone in her room. Mm-hmm. So to charge her phone, it has to be in our kitchen. Yeah. Even a lot of times, you know, I have an extra, you know, cell phone plug next to my side of the bed. And so I'll have her put it there. And yet that thing is going off. Alarms are ringing. It's the weirdest, oddest times.
Yes.
And so, yeah.
But it works.
It works for her. But of course, then I have to get up and go remind her, hey, your phone just went off because I make you keep it in our bedroom. So you need to get up now. So that's a great way to Aaron's point. You know, I think for me, one of the best things is just a simple to-do list. Mm-hmm. In you know, for example, this past Christmas, I just felt behind. We traveled a lot. And usually I'm more prepared because in our relationship, I love Christmas. I love buying gifts. And so Erin has graciously just kind of let me run with that for our family. I mean, she'll get me things because I just love that. Mm-hmm. And this year I just felt so behind. And so finally, like a couple of days before Christmas, I sat down with a big sheet of paper and just mapped out, you know, every one of our family members, what I wanted to get them, what I'd gotten them, what was still left to do. And I can't tell you the stress that melted away. Because as Erin was saying, there's the part of our brain, the way it works is when we're feeling stress, we have a lot going on, our brain will work overtime to remind us. And we stay kind of almost hypervigilant and worked up and escalated. Mm-hmm. Simply writing something down. It's like the difference between if, you know, if Dina calls you and says, hey, John, on the way home, can you get these five things from the grocery store? If you don't write that down or put it on your cell phone, whatever, then your brain is going to try to remind you mm-hmm. of what you need to get. Mm-hmm. But if you simply write that down, so put in the note section of your yeah. phone or whatever on a sticky note, like Erin said, your brain just doesn't need to do that. It's just a very practical way to deal with that stress and anxiety of trying to remember something. Put it down on your phone, on a sticky note, like me on a sheet of paper, mm-hmm. and then just watch how your body just relaxes. Yeah. So it's a great way to manage, you know, all that stuff that we're trying to remember without stressing ourselves out.
Well, and we're so busy, and there are going to be mistakes. Nobody's perfect. We are going to forget things. We're going to miss. Mm-hmm. And in those moments, grace must abound. We talked earlier yeah. in episode one about filters and how looking through a certain lens yeah. At your spouse can really be a game yeah. changer.
It's true.
Let's go ahead and hear from some other Focus staff members about how they found it's so important to show grace to a spouse even after a blunder.
I think probably a more lighthearted example, and it's actually now one of my favorite memories, a mistake that he made. Was we were early on into dating and I was his first girlfriend. And so he had very, you know, big expectations for what dates should look like. So he had planned this hike. And in order to get to this hike and throughout the entirety of the hike, I had to be blindfolded to get to the top. And so he, you know, we drive to the location. I'm blindfolded in the car. I don't know where we're going. I get out of the car, I'm blindfolded. He's holding my hand up the way of this steep mountain, and I literally don't know where we're going. And he's like, it's gonna be great, it's gonna be great. And here I am, I'm a control freak. So like not being able to see and not being able to where we're going, that was a lot for me. And so we get to the top eventually, and my husband just starts saying, oh, this doesn't look right. And I thought he was joking, but he just kept saying, this doesn't look right. And I said, can I take my blindfold off? No. I think we just need to take another turn. So we just keep going and going and going. Eventually, it's like 9:30 at night. I'm blindfolded. It's super dark. And we get to the location. And he says, okay, you can take your blindfold off. And I do. And we're not at this beautiful peak or looking over, you know, this beautiful city or doing anything that is romantic. We accidentally stumbled into a military firing range. And so here I was, you know, having been blindfolded for the last 3 hours, which was already super uncomfortable because I'm a control freak. And he made the mistake of going up the wrong mountain. And so immediately I'm like, this is not fun. Like, we're going to get shot. but I think, you know, that was a moment where I guess I showed grace because it ended up being one of the most fun adventures of our early relationship of trusting one another and ending up in the wrong spot. And I thought that that was a fun time.
I think the, you know, the best course of action here is to marry somebody who doesn't make mistakes. And my wife is an amazing person and she makes so few mistakes and does so few things that are problematic that I don't really get to show her grace for making mistakes. There was one time, and this wasn't really a mistake, it just happened. She got out of her van and the wind caught the door and bent the door completely back. And caused a bunch of damage to the door because doors aren't supposed to do that. And she felt terrible about it. And it messed her van up. And I'm like, well, it wasn't your fault. It was just a freak accident, this thing that happened. And so I think there are times in marriage where things just happen. And We can choose to get angry. We can choose to be accusatory. But most of the time, what's needed in those moments is just a gracious response of, yeah, I'm really sorry that happened. And we'll get it fixed. And we'll try not to open car doors in the wind again. Actually, I didn't say that. That would not have been a gracious response.
I will say on the flip side of that, I was distracted. I'll say it. I was distracted. Mm-hmm. And I was focused. I was trying. I was like, I need to take the trash can out. And the car is in the way, so I need to back the car out. But then there was another car on the other side of the street that I was worried about hitting. And I got in the car, and I just didn't shut the door. And I still, to this day, don't fully understand why I didn't shut the door. But I busted that hole, and I immediately was so worried because it was our first big thing as a couple. Like, we'd had, you know, little, like, who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? This was the first big thing. And when he got home, yes, I was nervous, laughing very hard. I was crying because I was laughing. And when I told him, just your reaction and your demeanor meant so much because it wasn't a big reaction. It was, what about my car? You know, whatever. But you didn't yell. You didn't, like, say anything hurtful, and you just went and checked on your car, and then you came back and made fun of me for laughing. And so it actually really, really helped. I just think how you took that really helped me to be more comfortable to say, hey, I made a mistake. I know that you still love me. How are we going to figure this out?
No, that's great. That's one thing I do value, you know, being lighthearted and find the silver lining in things. And it wasn't a big deal, but from now on, it has been a funny story for us. And to this day, I still laugh at her just because it's the humor. If you were there and you heard her laughing, it sounded like she had been in a comedic like show and heard this massive joke, but the nervousness that she was feeling. And I think that's a great thing just for us to go through because we learned how to like not make a big deal of something that's repairable. Mm-hmm. And I'm forever blessed. So that hole that's still there is a reminder of the joys that we found through this experience.
I think some of the rocks of handling each other's styles of conflict was one of the ways that we really had to show each other grace, because each person handles conflict and stress and just weight differently. I can recall just kind of dealing with that, trying to understand how she processes emotions and how I process emotions as well. It's very different. And so, first of all, acknowledging that when we disagree on something, that we both have very different ways of handling that took a lot of grace, because I'm just thinking, no, like, we need to talk about it. We need to talk through it. And we need to work through these emotions immediately. And she tends to like to really process and take some time away from the conflict and prevent herself from saying something she'd regret. And so rather than immediately going into it, she wants to take time and I just want to go into it. And so that was creating more conflict. Grace was definitely needed in that moment to kind of realize, hey, you're different than me and you have a different process and that's okay. And so we grew to love each other through conflict.
We wanted to paint our basement, but I wanted to do like this really cool faux thing. And it took like three colors. So I said, honey, I want to do this. Here's the paint. I've got it. Just let me do it. And he's like, Diane Lorraine, do you have the tarp? Oh, I need a tarp. Diane Lorraine, do you have rags? Oh, I need rags. Do you have a ladder? I need a ladder. I just want to paint. I've got the paint. Here it is. And I said, well, just set it up for me. And then I'm going to paint. And he goes, and I'm going to leave. And he did. He left the house completely. So the first color was like this really rich brown. So I am painting the wall and it's looking great. And I back up and I step on the tray. The tray flips up. The paint misses the tarp and lands on our brand new carpet. And then it starts spreading. So I grab the rags, which he so graciously provided for me, and I start trying to mop it up. And of course, it just spreads it even further. I hear the front door open, and I hear somebody coming down the stairs into the basement. It was my son. He saw the paint. He saw me, and he goes, I'm leaving. And he turned around and he walked out of the house. So then, about 15 minutes later, the front door opens down the stairs, and I stop Roger at the bottom of the stairs, and I say this, "Honey, it could have been really bad. I could have broken my leg." "Diane Lorraine, what did you do?" "Honey, it could have been so bad. I could have, like, broken my arm. Diane Lorraine, what did you do?" And I go, "Well, maybe just a little spill." And he comes in and he sees this brown paint all over our carpet. And he just stared at it for a minute, turned around, and he left. But he came back with a carpet cleaner. And that man got every bit of that brown paint out of that carpet. He was showing me a lot of grace that day.
Well, grace is something all of us need at some time or another in our marriage. And Greg, for that couple who maybe didn't celebrate Valentine's Day, let's just say extenuating circumstances, something came up where they're just not in a season where they could do that. Maybe they don't even date. What are some ways that they can start to really kind of connect or reconnect in the relationship?
Yeah, John, I love how you use the word grace. Because even thinking back to the story that Aaron and I told up at the time that we forgot our wedding anniversary again, the marriage people here at Focus forgetting our own wedding anniversary. But here's what's cool about grace. In that moment for Aaron and I, we could have seen the fact that we forgot our anniversary as some sign that, see, we're not getting along. There's a bigger problem here, mm-hmm. some deeper seated something, and really turn that into evidence that there's a big issue. Grace, though, here's what I love about grace in marriage. Grace in marriage is when I choose to remember who Erin has been over the course of our entire marriage versus how maybe she's showing up in that moment. Mm. So for that situation, grace for us was not going, "Oh boy, we forgot. What does that mean?" It's going, "You know what? For however many years we'd been married, you know, we've done a really good job of celebrating our anniversary. And this was just one of those times we missed it." And that's the power of grace. It just can reset things and help you remember, no, this is what's been true mm-hmm. for all these years versus for this particular moment.
Yeah.
Well, because negative beliefs can take off. And so we start interpreting everything through that negative lens, including, "Oh, see, he forgot Valentine's Day, and therefore he doesn't care." Check that out. Just mm-hmm. ask him, like, "Hey, what happened?" Or, you know, maybe he'll ask you. It makes me think of, we were traveling internationally over Thanksgiving this year, and it was just crazy leading up to leaving for that international trip. And I forgot my very best friend's birthday. Mm-hmm. And it was a big birthday. And I got home and literally I was like, "I forgot something. I know I did." And I started looking at my calendar and I realized, and I texted her, I go, "Did I forget your 60th birthday?" And she said, "Yes." And I was like, "Oh," absolutely horrified. But I am telling you, she gave me grace and it felt so good. She's like, "Honey, I know you're so busy and you're overwhelmed with school and work and travel. No worries." And I literally, I was like, "Ugh, grace feels so good when we receive it."
Yeah. So start there. Yeah. So give each other great grace. So I would say if you missed Valentine's Day, here would be my best ideal date that you guys could do together to kind of make up for that and make sure you celebrate your marriage. I'd pick a date, put it on the calendar. So first and foremost, decide, okay, you know, 2 weeks from now or this weekend, we're gonna do something. And I want you both to dress up. So make this a big deal. You don't have to go crazy in tux or, you know, formal wear, but just
something
just,
beyond yeah. shorts and a sweatshirt. Yeah.
Hey, I love my shorts and my sweatshirt.
I know you do.
So dress up and then cook a meal together. So Aaron and I did this last night, and it's such a fun reminder of the power of just choosing a meal and doing that together to where we're trying to figure out, you know, the ingredients. And there was one ingredient that we were supposed to use. And I'm like, "I've never even heard of that. What is that? Is that a vegetable or a fruit?
I had to call our son-in-law yeah. and ask him, like, "Should it be red?"
Yeah.
And he's yeah. like, "Yeah, it can be any color." Yeah. I'm like, "Oh, good."
So cook a meal together. So pick a meal, Google that thing, go on Pinterest, whatever, find something, do that together. And then over dinner, so now you're going to sit down, light a candle in your home. Okay, if you have children, make them be your waitress and waiters and involve them in that way. But then, so we'll put a link to some conversation starters here in our notes. And then just run through a bunch of these fun little conversation starter questions. Last night, again, Aaron and I not only cooked together, it was a good night relationally for us. We just laid in bed. And I didn't even look this up, but I asked as we were laying there, because we've really made the commitment that we're going to keep our cell phones, you know, down and on our side tables. And I just said, hey, what was one thing that you did today that you're proud of? And it's those are the kinds of conversation starters that are so much fun, because to hear Aaron's response to that, again, I learned something. I didn't know that she did that, and here she was proud, and I got to ask her, so what was it? Well, why did that make you feel proud? So conversation starters over dinner, you're going to do that. You're definitely going to disconnect from the technology, so eyes on each other, really focus. And then Aaron and I would just say, man, end the whole thing with kissing, affection. Go as far as you want to go with that. And just make that a special time. Again, what you're showing your kids, you're showing others, man, maybe we forgot, you know, Valentine's Day this year, but we want to celebrate our marriage. And so there's a great way to do that.
Yeah. Well, I so appreciate that. And throughout this podcast, we've had so many good practical insights and ideas. We have mentioned our free marriage assessment. And if you have not yet done that, please set aside a few minutes and do that as a couple. Take that assessment. It's going to address a number of aspects of your relationship. You'll get some ideas on what's going well and maybe an improvement point or two as well. It'll be great conversation for you in the coming days. Details about the free marriage assessment are in the show notes, as well as that link that Greg just mentioned to the conversation starters. And if this ministry has helped you in any way to be a stronger couple, would you please prayerfully consider supporting us financially? Make a one-time donation of any amount, or if you can, a monthly pledge of any amount. And we'll say thank you for being a part of the support team by sending a book by Greg and Aaron, Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage, 12 Secrets for a Lifelong Romance. It is a wonderful resource. It's going to help you and your mate stay connected and go deeper on these topics that we've been talking about and more. And details are in the show notes. Well, thanks for joining us for this podcast season. Our ministry is here for you throughout the year to help with any needs that you and your spouse, you and your family have. And Greg, Aaron, any parting comments for our audience?
I would say if you are listening to this and thinking, all these things sound so good, but we're so disconnected, I would say reach out. You know, you can call Focus on the Family, 1-800, the letter A and F-A-M-I-L-Y, so 1-800-A-FAMILY. And, you know, reach out and get resources. Get resourced, whether that's, you know, a book, a podcast, or a therapist's name in your area. And fight for that connection. It is worth fighting for.
Yeah, I love that, Aaron. Because we believe that the worst question to ask yourself is, how do I have a great marriage? Because the truth is that that really does take two people. And I can't control if Aaron is going to invest in our relationship or not. I mean, I can invest. But the better question is, how can I be a better spouse? Mm. So make that the theme for this year. What am I doing to grow? How am I making sure that I'm taking the time to really care for me so that I have something to give, that I'm dealing with some of those issues maybe that have caused some challenges within my marriage? Because I have total control over how I'm going to show up as a husband. God can continue to help me become more like his son. I can continue to grow, and that only helps to strengthen our marriage is when the two individuals are growing into healthier people.
Yeah, well, that's so good. And I so appreciate Greg and Aaron, your hearts, the leadership you afford this ministry with the marriage effort and all that you do. And thank you for joining us for season 7 of the Loving Well podcast.
Every day is sweeter than the one before. Every day I love you just a little more. Oh, 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 oh.